Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Great to have everybody connecting today, and we are excited about what God is saying, what God is doing. If you're joining us from a network, obviously some of us on computers, some of us watching the screen there in our TV or our lounge rooms, and we're excited about what we have in store. If you have not been connected over the last few weeks, we are in a series that we've called Guess Who? Constantly through life, there's this challenge of finding out who we really are, or finding ourselves caught in trying to know who we really are. And that thought of just dealing with insecurity, isolating those insecurities on the inside of us, is so important for us to be able to do that. And, you know, I've been sharing a lot about how my life, and people go, really, this is you, has been a struggle with putting insecurity in its place. And I've had so much feedback, people just, again, texting or emailing and saying thank you for what you've been sharing and what we've been looking at. And if you haven't been in church or been able to be online over the last few weeks, I encourage you, go online and just check out this series. In fact, today we're wrapping it up. It's week four. But we're going to pray. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and presence himself with us. So come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. And it's in that moment where we engage his presence that everything on the inside of us begins to look different. Peace begins to flood our soul. And we are reminded that you're the God that created it all, ultimately is in control of it all. And as we deal with this inner world of insecurity and trying to define and discover who we really are, that Holy Spirit, you're the one that makes the difference. You're the one that steps in and gives us understandings that we can't find on our own. And so we pray that you'll anoint the message today, anoint our time together in Jesus' name. A loud amen. I can hear it from all over the place. Great to have you, as I said, joining with us. And we're going to do things a little different today because it's great to have Marie. You're sitting kind of close, Marie.
I am close, but I'm allowed to be because I'm your wife.
Yes, that's right. She's in our bubble. So welcome to our bubble. In fact, that bubble's been going for about 40 years, I believe.
It has. It's a long time.
Has it been a good bubble?
It has been a good bubble. It's popped a few times along the way, but
She's been too honest. Well, it's great to have you because I thought we had the boys last weekend talking about insecurity, so we thought we might have the girls. So Marie and Pastor Aaron, welcome, Aaron. Great to have you joining us as well.
Thanks, Pastor Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, we're talking about insecurity, so maybe we'll just start there for those that are picking up on this theme. I mean, insecurity is such a huge part of the human equation, and we've been identifying how that in our insecurity, so oftentimes we are locked in something that we should not carry. I've had this thought. Let me go to you, Aaron. Talk to me about insecurity from your perspective. I mean, you're a mum of three, in fact, four. You've got a husband as well, so that sort of passes through to that. But insecurity is something that I think affects us. Does it affect us at all ages?
Oh, absolutely, I think it does. I mean, I know for myself, it started from a very young age, and a lot of it is determined by, you know, your upbringing and the circumstance that you're faced with. But I think as soon as you start to realize that you can make mistakes or you can start comparing yourself to others, then insecurity becomes a part of your life. And it doesn't go away. You just learn different ways in which to deal with it, don't you?
Yeah, which has been a big revelation that some people have said, I've never thought that everybody's insecure. And we've experienced that, haven't we, in raising the boys in our own personal journeys. You know, I had this thought this week, and maybe you could talk to this, Marie, is imagine if we lived a world where we were fully secure. Not in a sense of like we're making everything right, but we were just secure, knowing that we won't get it all right, knowing that we have our humanity, knowing that some of the things we've already talked about are a part of our journey. But that thought of just living secure or more secure every week that we walk through.
Yeah, I think all of our lives would look very different if we lived with that in mind. If we were secure, we would We would dream more. We would take risks more. We would just connect differently with each other because we wouldn't be insecure, obviously, or we wouldn't be defensive, or we wouldn't think bad of ourselves. So we'd have a go, I think, at a lot more things in life.
Yeah, and there are so many things, aren't there, that you would look. I remember for me, I think I might have shared this through the series, but when I began to lose my hair as a teenager, for me, it was a thing about value. Whereas it was something I couldn't change, but for years I lived under this sense of not being as valuable because I didn't have what somebody else had. But that happens in so many different ways. And so we're going to get into the message today, and I just pray that it will really, really help some people. If you've been with us, we've talked about how we need to learn to isolate unsecured personal value. In other words, if I don't secure my own value, which is in Christ, then that's going to dominate my life, and that's really going to rip me off. It's going to cause me to have all sorts of self-doubt. I'm going to have second-guessing about who I am. Not only that, we talked about isolating unhealthy comparison. What a huge one that is. In fact, there's a philosopher, a friend of mine, his name's Abe, and he dropped this on me this week, which I thought was pretty good. He says, imagine if we all lived with nothing to prove and no one to impress. Now, just stop for a moment. Imagine what the rest of this year would look like, the rest of your life would look like, if you were able to get to a place in God where you don't have to prove anything and you don't have to impress anyone. Comparison went out of the window. Week two, Pastor Scott was talking to us about isolating unaccountable thoughts, how that the way that we think is so strong to be able to define how we see ourselves. And we've got to give our thinking the right direction, yeah, that we are literally transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the whole thought for all of us of having to make sure we direct or redirect at times our thinking. Because if we're not thinking right about ourselves, if we're not thinking right about our spouses, our friends, then insecurity is going to stand up in the middle of it, because that's what insecurity does. It points to the things that we can't change. Yeah. Then there was TC, and I loved how he talked about his need to isolate unsurrendered control. In other words, when you try to control, you begin to wear masks, and so therefore you are often stepping back or having to step in and take full control of things. But both of those we're not called to do. There is a grace that comes from God that is for our salvation, but more than that, it's for our whole lives. And then Pastor Luke, I love how he talked about isolating things like unattainable perfection. For all those control freaks, I'm one of those that are out there, and you'd like to do it well and do it better every time. It's a big lesson if you're going to isolate insecurity and discover who you really are, to make sure that you are not someone that is looking to be perfect in everything.
Yeah.
And there is a challenge for that, because God's love and God's value is not based on our excellence. It's not based on perfection, it's based on understanding what true excellence is, which is just doing better next time, learning the lessons that we need to learn. But let's go on from that, because as you talk through this need to isolate unsecured personal value and unhealthy comparison and unaccountable thoughts, also unsurrendered control, that you've just got to be in control, you're not going to live free and this unattainable perfection. But I think I want to talk today with the girls about what I've learned to, and what we've learned or are learning to do, and that is on a daily basis to overcome insecurity. And the first thing that I would say is, if we're going to learn to master insecurity so it doesn't rob us of who we are, there is a need for us to acknowledge the reality of its presence. That might sound simple, but I find myself, after many years of dealing with insecurity, of having still to come back to this thought that every day I've got to acknowledge, hey, I've got insecurity. I'm reacting in such a way, I'm feeling such a way, that That insecurity is now in this moment. It's still here. Let me say it again for all of those that haven't been part of the series. Insecurity is a part of all humanity.
Yeah.
And growing up, for me, the reality of those feelings of I'm not good enough and I'm not accepted enough and I'm not close enough to what I think God wants me to be. This journey of understanding the moment you get born again, God enters your spirit and you are spirit complete. But you live within a soul of emotions and feelings, and that's where salvation is taking place. So you can be spirit free, but your soul is yet to become free. And all of us keep looking at failure and thinking, well, that's who I am. No, you're not a failure. Human insecurity is a part of who we are. Yeah. And when we get to this point, I think even as a boy, I had this time where I was reading Philippians. And it was, I believe, Paul writing. And he said in Philippians 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind or this thinking be on the inside of you, which was also in Jesus Christ. As a teenager, I think it might have even been my early 20s, I looked at that verse and I read it over and again. Let this mind, this way of thinking that Jesus thinks, be a part of who I am. Then verse 6, it would just blew me apart. It says, Jesus, who being in the form of God, here's Jesus in his humanity, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And I thought, what stops me from living with that kind of mindset? It's that insecurity is present in my today, that self-doubt, that playing it safe, never wanting to take a bold step for God, that blocking out other people's affirmation. And it was kind of like God was saying, you got to get on the front foot here. Just acknowledge you've got insecurity. That is not who you are. That is currently what is around you. And I remember, Marie, you'll remember this, is I was, I think, teaching a little bit on insecurity. And I got somebody to print on a cap. And I put it on my head and it says, hi, I'm Paul. I'm insecure. And I tried to find that cap, but I think it's well gone. And we couldn't get another one printed in lockdown. But I want to encourage everyone that I think that's the response is like, stop pretending you're not insecure. Just wear a cap saying, I am insecure. Acknowledge the reality of its presence. I think it would be great, maybe from your point of view, Marie, looking back over your life, looking over the years we've been together, but your whole life, and just go, you know, this acknowledging the reality of the presence of insecurity. What has that looked like for you?
Yeah, I think it's funny, isn't it? I think we can feel like a failure if we do acknowledge it. And that's why oftentimes you don't want to acknowledge it. You can feel like, well, I'm failing if I acknowledge I'm insecure. But I know in my own life, like, I've had to acknowledge the insecurity in me. I've come from a broken past. And you came from the opposite. You were loved, but you still had insecurity as well. So I think in our marriage, defensiveness was a big part in my life when you may have said something to me. You're that type of person that always does look at how we can do something better or make something better. And if you don't acknowledge insecurity, and in my case, definitely in the earlier years and along the way, because you don't ever graduate from it, like you said, we'll always have it and have to learn how to isolate it. But I read that as I'm not good enough. So I would be defensive. And then that would just even highlight the fact of my insecurity even more, because I was defending, oh, well, you don't think I'm good enough, therefore I'll never be good enough. And then you give up. Rather than just acknowledging, yes, I do have insecurity, that'll acknowledge, why are you reacting? Why are you being defensive? And then if you can acknowledge it, then you can actually grow and get past it and say, what do I need to do? What is this in me that's making me do that?
Because we, especially in those earlier years, I used to say, well, you know, well, you came across by saying, I've got to be careful, otherwise you are sitting close to me. You came across
by... It's all right, I'm secure now.
Well, we're learning to be secure. It was like, well, so why am I not good enough? And it was like, no, I'm not saying you're not good enough. I'm just saying, hey, learn from this. We could develop that. But it was a big thing because that insecurity deal was like, well, I shouldn't feel insecure. Yes, we should. It is part of it. Just acknowledge it, accept it.
Yeah, and I think I have to acknowledge when you come, in my case, from a broken past and feeling like I wasn't valued already because of circumstances, I had to acknowledge that was actually affecting my behaviour and affecting what I thought of myself or what people were saying to me. So acknowledging that was a big thing because otherwise you just kind of have this defensive blocker all the time. And like I said, you never grow as a person if you're always defending or not acknowledging. And rather than developing who you are, you, in my case, focus more on what I wasn't. Every time something happened, especially with us and my defensiveness, it was like I was thinking, I'm not good enough. So I focused on who I wasn't, which didn't help me grow who I actually was. So it was just like crazy.
Yeah. This acknowledging of the reality of insecurity. I think the truth is, for all of us, the more we acknowledge it, the less the hold it has on us. Mm. And I would encourage you, get one of those hats. Hi, I'm Marie and I'm super insecure.
What do you mean?
Hi, I'm Paul. I'm even more insecure. Because the moment you begin to articulate the reality of insecurity, got to do that on a daily basis, you're going to find, wow, I'm starting to feel more secure because I'm not hiding behind anything. I don't need to hide behind it. And let's all acknowledge the reality of its presence. Okay. I think true is that the closer we get to God, the more real we can get with ourselves. So we realize that God gets us and all of us feel the struggle of self-confidence and personal value and constant comparison, that thinking of less than. But the moment you acknowledge that insecurity, it's a bit like a pressure cooker. The steam builds up and there's a little spinning top on the top, and at a certain temperature, it lets off the steam as soon as you touch it. But you've got to release the steam before you open the pot for the wonder of what's inside. Maybe this week it could be a great thing just to acknowledge every day. I'm just going to acknowledge my insecurity. Hey, sorry, honey, that was my insecurity. Sorry, kids, that was my insecurity. Sorry to myself. That's just insecurity talking right then. Let's talk about it. And the moment we begin to do that is the moment we find a freedom with it. I found myself again this week, again, at a scripture that I've often gone back to, Isaiah chapter 6. It was in a year where the King Uzziah died. And it was a time of, I think, disappointment. It was a time of confusion. But Isaiah, in that time, comes to God. And in that place with God, this is how he cries out. He says, God, woe is me, for I am undone. In other words, he came to a point in his life where he realized he didn't have the answer. He didn't find himself in a place of strength or control. Woe is me, for I am undone. Then he said, and also I am a man of unclean lips. The things that are coming out of my mouth are not right. And I dwell in a peat bowl of unclean lips. But then he says, but my eyes have seen the King. And then God speaks and he says, well, who will go for us? The voice of the Lord says, who will we send and go for us? And Isaiah responded, here I am. There is a need every day to go, hey, I can't do this. Woe is me. My humanity doesn't have the strength. And right now you might be feeling like, boy, I've let God down. I've let myself down. I've let my friends, my spouse, my family down. I've left everybody down. But the moment you go, well, that's me, God. But then when you see the King, when you see who God is, then you say, hey, I'm ready for a new chapter. Yeah. Acknowledge the reality of your insecurity daily. Don't let the enemy play with you and hold you back from your potential. See, God can pick up every broken vessel and make it completely restored. So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is acknowledge daily the reality of its presence. The second thing I would add to that is learn to respond. Don't retreat and don't react. Let me say that again. Make a decision that daily you're going to be responding, not retracting, not retreating, but responding. I had somebody say some nasty things to me this week via social media, which I don't even really know much of what's happening on social media because of our stand on some of the wording of a bill that's going through. And there's been kind of an uproar of it. But you know what? I didn't feel a reactive bone in my body because I've had to learn over years that people don't really know what's going down. Often there's something else that at play. My response must be not to retreat, not to react. When that begins to happen, you find that insecurity downsizes in scale. And we recognize that God is a part of who we are. And there is so much that has been a part of my life, particularly in early years. But even today, I've got to still make sure, hey, Paul, are you responding?
Yeah.
Or are you retreating and saying, oh, it's just too hard? Some of us right now, because of what's happening, even with the pandemic, with what is out there in the media, what is being said, we're kind of like, well, this is all too hard. No, 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 no. It's time to respond, not to retreat and not to react.
Yeah.
Let me go to Aaron because Aaron, I love your wisdom and what you bring to life. I love the way that you view life. You've been, for me, someone that definitely would live this, yet you would possibly be the first to say, well, I'm not perfect in that. Talk to us about your journey with this whole thought. So daily, making sure we respond, we don't retreat, and don't react.
Yeah, it's definitely been a work in progress for me. There have been many times where, you know, I've allowed my feelings to dominate, and in a moment, like probably many of us, we've said things or we've done things that we shouldn't have done. And I think for me, I'm a real people pleaser. I don't like making mistakes. And so one of the hardest things is not to react or retreat as a result of my own failings or my own shortcomings. And I was thinking about it this week and looking back over my life and hopefully have grown a lot in this area. But remembering back to a time, it was actually about 15 years ago, and it was Sisters Conference. You wouldn't have heard this story, Pastor Paul and Marie, so confessions of a pastor to their senior pastors today. It was Sisters Conference, and I was very new in ministry, and I'd been asked to drive one of the guest speakers, which is a great honour and a privilege. And throughout the couple of weeks that I was driving her, there was this one afternoon, she had some free time and decided to go shopping. And I think you went with her, Pastor Marie. So I dropped the ladies off in town, and then as I was pulling out to leave, I accidentally put my foot on the accelerator instead of the brake, and I rammed the car, this lovely car that I was driving, into the van that was in front of me, made this massive noise, did significant damage to the car. Thankfully, I don't think the ladies realized what was happening. They were focused on what they were doing, but everybody stopped and looked. And I remember in that moment, as a young woman in ministry, just going, Aaron, you are so stupid. What have you done? And thinking that this is the end for me. They are never going to trust me again. I'll never get given any responsibility. And the self-talk that I said in that moment over myself was so bad. And we do that, don't we? We often speak those words over ourselves in a moment of reaction at the time. And then after that, I remember going into a justification mode. Like you said, Pastor Marie, we get defensive. So I started to think, well, what excuse can I give for this? Like, there's got to be a reason why I've done what I've done that takes the blame and shifts it off me. Was it the car? Was it the mechanics? Maybe it was the person in front of me. They parked too close to me and I'm trying to go through my mind. How am I going to explain this away? But then you come to a point, you're like, well, actually, there's no excuse for this. I just made a mistake. So you sort of come to an acceptance of it. But then you go into retreat mode, right? And it's like, oh, well, I'll never drive again and I'll pull out right now. And then you go as far as going, well, maybe ministry's just not for me because I'm a failure. And, you know, I laugh at it now and looking back at it. But in reality, this is what we do in our minds. We go over and over things and we go down the track and the spiral in our minds and we think worst case scenario. And so for me, you know, thankfully I didn't get fired. And the team were amazing. They encouraged me to get back into the car and continue driving. But it knocked my confidence, and I let the residue of that moment carry on with me into future experiences. And I think that's true for all of us. You know, situations happen, things are said and things are done, and we carry that. And I love what it says in Hebrews 10:35. It says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And this is what really challenged me this week. It says, and I take no pleasure in the one that shrinks back. This is really challenging. You know, we need to keep persevering and pushing through, and don't shrink back. Don't give up when things are hard. And that's something I've really had to work on with self-talk, taking ownership in the moment and taking, don't make decisions out of emotion, but stop and go to God and see what he's saying.
So amazing. Thanks, Erin. I think we all know the real us. One of the things I found myself doing for many years, and maybe it was because there was a sense of wanting to be perfect and then having to learn that no, excellence is not perfection, was this thought of, I said to myself out loud in my head, I don't know how many times, you idiot, you idiot. It's like, you might say, well, you, yeah, that's exactly how I would look at myself and caused me to back off from stepping into my God potential. And maybe today you're at a place where the enemy has used circumstances to cause you to retreat or to react. There are so many, and I understand the fear of what's going down today, but so many people that are in retreat or reaction mode. Can I just say, from a father in the faith's heart, it's time for us to have faith in him, to have faith in the God that still has got the ultimate say and has ultimate control. Because the moment we leave that for what is happening around us is the moment that, again, fear and all kinds of insecurities begin to bubble and boil. We're saying, well, how do we defeat insecurity on a daily basis? There is this need to acknowledge the reality of its presence. So it's like, hey, that's insecurity right now. And it is, secondly, to make sure we're responders, not retreaters or reactors. Yeah. And as Erin has shared, that's such an encouragement to go, we all feel that, and we all feel because of that, it's over. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. I wonder why we're looking for all of that on the natural then. It comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. Talk about our God. He is completely secure. He's secure right now in what's happening through pandemics. He is secure. Then verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, make sure that every one of us are swift to hear. The question is what? What are you hearing? What are you quick to hear? God's word or the word of social media or the word of other people's thinking? Slow to speak, and then he says slow to wrath. Literally, understanding that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The reaction of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I've had to learn that over and over again. Focus firstly on hearing, Paul. Yeah. Hearing God, not hearing other things. Secondly, determine to hold your tongue. Don't allow your tongue to have the liberty that it wants to speak out all kinds of things that are not based on the authority and the truth and the absoluteness of God's word. And thirdly, do not allow wrath. Refocus your anger. The Bible actually says it's okay to be angry, but don't sin. You're going to feel anger. You're going to feel insecurity. Don't let it rule you. Again, imagine if we lived with nothing to prove and lived with this thought of, no one has to be impressed because I'm secure. And I pray that each one of us will move into a new level of security. The third thought would be that we acknowledge the reality of its presence daily, that we respond, we don't retreat, don't react. And the third thing, as I wrap this up, is I would encourage you to declare your God-given identity. I don't believe it's by chance that we're talking about insecurity in a shaking world. Because we are and are called to be people of great security. Why? Because we're committed to the rock. Don't think for a moment that the enemy can outthink God. Don't think for a moment that even what's happening around you is the final outcome. Realize that it's time for you to declare that you're a child of God, that God has got you. He's got what's around you, even in the face of adversity. That's who I am. Who are you, by the way? Who have you believed that you are that doesn't line up with who God says that you are? You might go, but poor man, I've stuffed up. I've done things I wish I would have never done. God could never forgive me. How many times have I heard that from people? And God says, really? So my salvation, my forgiveness is partial, salvation and forgiveness? No, you need to acknowledge whose you are. You've got to acknowledge that you have a God-given identity. See, the more insecurity is given room in our lives, the deeper it goes. Because it wants to take the central place of who we are. Marie and I have often had to say to each other, we've talked as a team, to really say, you know what? Once you accept your identity is in God, then security is everywhere. I don't have to prove. I don't have to over second guess things. This may be controversial, but you know me, I'm happy to be a bit controversial. In our nation right now, they're wanting to remove genders of birth certificates. Some people are going, oh, here we go. You know what's behind all of that? People don't even know that are involved in this process. There's an enemy that wants to remove identity away from human beings. You don't know who you are. You have a right to choose, and you may change that in a year or two or not. No, God says, no, you are who I said you are. And when you find your identity in God, then you find a security that God actually created you and I to live with. And that comes by discovering who He is. And this week, as you discover who He is more, you're going to discover who you are more. And I think it's a daily thing. Declare out loud. I am in relationship with the God that is over all, the God that can do it all, and the God that's got it all. Romans chapter 8, some incredible words Paul writes, and he says, hey, if you will live according to your own natural flesh, you're going to die. If you're going to live just according to the things of this world or the natural feelings that you have, but when you live according to the Spirit, then you discover who you are. See, my God-given identity changes everything. Your God-given identity changes everything about you. I think I've said in the series that fear focuses on what is coming at me, not who is standing with me. So if we were to acknowledge every day the reality that we have insecurity, its presence is with me. If we made a decision to respond, not retreat, not react, and then declare that I belong to God and my identity is in Him, you know what would happen? We'd begin to remove the pile, the debris of insecurity, and discover the real us. I think it was last week I talked about rising precedes shining. Now the Bible says in Isaiah 60, you've got to arise to shine. And today, I'd love to pray for you if you go, you know, Paul, I'm not sure I know who I am. The moment you enter into a relationship, the world would call it religion. No, it's a relationship with the God that made you, the Jesus that came to earth to die for you, to become the foundation of your life. I don't now need to look at my weaknesses. I don't now need to allow my insecurity to define me. I rise into who He is. Jesus said these incredible words, incredible. John 15, He says, you know what, guys? No longer do I call you slaves. No longer do I call you a servant, because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I'm calling you friends. He said, For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Then he said, you didn't choose me. Hear it. I chose you. I chose you. I chose you in your weakness. I chose you in your insecurity. I chose you in the sense of feeling like you're a failure. I chose you and I appointed you that you would go bear fruit. Your fruit will remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. And I feel like I'm prophesying now into hearts because I'm saying to people, stop allowing what's around you to define you. Stop allowing what the prognosis is to define you. Start seeing you are who God says you are. You're a child of the King. And no long-term thing that the enemy wants to bring is going to harm you. You are good enough. You're smart enough. And you're worthy enough.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you were encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at any of our Auckland campuses. If you're not in Auckland, then check us out, Church Online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifenz.org or download the Life app to stay connected and find out more.